This is the homily for the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, 2023 at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the Book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1-6, and chapter 21, verses 1-3. The Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8, 11-12, and 17-19. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22-40. The homilist was Father Ignacio Gonzalez.
In the life of a newly ordained priest, there are many firsts. First confession, first mass, first priestly blessings, first wedding. And earlier this week, I was in Texas for another first, but this first was more difficult. The first funeral mass for a member of my family. 3 weeks ago on December 9th, my oldest cousin, just 3 years older than me, died unexpectedly of a heart attack. My cousin Joe Nathan did not have an easy life. As a teenager, he dreamed of being a rock star. Nathan told my uncle that he would run away from home to chase his dream. My uncle, who didn't know how to be a dad, said to my cousin, "You don't need to run away from home. I'll take you there." As Nathan told the story when I visited him for my niece's wedding in May, he and my uncle drove in silence for 3 hours from Corpus Christi to Austin. Then my uncle dropped off his oldest son downtown on 6th Street in the heart of the live music capital of the world, where at age 16, Nathan tried to make it on his own. Many of us could share stories of painful wounds in our relationships with family, parents, children, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives. And yet God chooses to achieve our salvation in the context of a family. That is, God makes it clear the importance of family in His plan for our salvation. In today's first reading, God offers one of his promises to Abram, whose wife Sarai was beyond childbearing years. "Fear not, Abram," God says. "I am your shield, and I will make your reward very great. Look up at the sky and count the stars. Just so shall your descendants be." And one of the rewards God gives to Abram for his faithfulness and as a sign of the fulfillment of all of God's promises, Abram and Sarai conceive Isaac, who had Jacob, who had 12 sons, whose descendants became the 12 tribes of Israel. Thus, even in the Old Testament and many centuries ago, God chose a family as a sign of his great love. And in the context of a family, God fulfills his promises. Then in today's second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, we have this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. Now in today's Gospel, which is the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary, we see the faith of Joseph and Mary who went to the temple. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord." We not only see the faith of Joseph and Mary. The focal point of today's Gospel passage is Simeon, whose faith had him go to the temple the day of Mary's purification. Simeon was righteous and a devout man, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon takes the Christ child into his arms, and we pray his words every night at Compline. Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon was only able to see the fulfillment of God's promises because of the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph, who brought God to the temple, which is quite a paradox, isn't it? God was already in the temple, but in a new way, because of the incarnation, God in the flesh was taken by a mother and a father to the place where for centuries God's people congregated to encounter him. This is the culmination of salvation history. The promises of Abraham are now fulfilled when an older gentleman who had a similar faith was moved by the Holy Spirit to take God's promises into his arms and pray the canticle that has grounded monks and nuns for centuries. We are not limited to Simeon, though, because there is also a faithful widow, Anna, 84 years old, who had spent her time daily in the temple after her husband had died. Both Anna and Simeon reveal to us another aspect of how God fulfills his promises to Abraham. They both had to wait almost their entire lives, and God's chosen people waited centuries for the moment when Mary and Joseph take Jesus into the temple, fulfilling the law of Moses. What does that mean for us at the end of this year, 2023, 2,000 years removed from the recorded events in today's gospel? Like my cousin Jonathan and his family, many of us have wounds that we would like to see healed. Illnesses, broken relationships are part of the human experience, and it takes time, sometimes years, for these wounds to be healed. And we can be driven to despair when these difficulties are not solved immediately, even when we bring them to God in prayer. But today's readings remind us that even though it takes time, faith informs us that God keeps his promises. The faith of Abraham, the faith of Mary and Joseph, the faith of Simeon and Anna, and the faith that has us here at this Mass this morning reminds us that even in broken families, God is present and working out our salvation. Because God's incarnation sanctifies the whole of humanity, one person at a time, beginning with the shepherds who visit Jesus in the manger, and then his parents taking him to the temple, extending out to Simeon and Anna, and eventually to us here, the same grace it sanctifies the world. Abraham is our father in faith, and we are among the number more numerous than the stars that God promised to Abraham in our first reading. 300 years after Mary and Joseph took their son to the temple, we know of another mother who was faithful, married to a man who did not believe in God and whose son was living a licentious life. Every day his mother prayed for her son, and she repeatedly went to her local bishop about him, expressing her concern for her son and asking for the bishop's help. The successor to the apostles would reply, God's time will come. But repeatedly this mother would come to the bishop in tears because she loved her son and wanted him to live according to how the Lord would have us all live. One day the bishop told her, Go now, I beg you. It is not possible that the son of so many tears should perish. And he was right, because eventually that wild young man became Saint Augustine, a doctor of the church, who owed his conversion to the prayers of his faithful mother, Saint Monica, through the pastoral guidance of Saint Ambrose. Even if we don't see it at the moment, God hears our prayers for our loved ones, and in time he will answer them. But what experience of a family life does a monk have? We who are vowed to this community and to this place are all sons of a mother and a father. And spiritually, we are sons of Holy Father Benedict. But we don't have children of our own. So although we might not identify with Abraham and Sarah, or Joseph and Mary, because these couples had children to raise, we monks can still identify with Simeon and Anna, who spent so much time at the temple in prayer. Additionally, our community life on the foundation of the rule of Saint Benedict is meant to mirror on earth the family life that we will experience in heaven. We hear in chapter 63 of the rule that younger monks must then respect their seniors, and seniors must love their juniors. When they address one another, no one must be allowed to do so simply by name. Rather, the seniors call the younger monks brother. The younger monks called their seniors nonus in Latin, which is translated as venerable father. These titles are not meant to be empty honorifics. Rather, they are reminders of what relationships should be with brothers in community. Because, to the glory of God, the monastery is the family that He chose for each of us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. On this feast of the Holy Family, this monk is keenly aware of how much more he must do to strengthen our monastic family. I know that I am not who I should be for my fathers and brothers here, and I thank the Lord for the patience and grace extended to me for 16 years now. From the beginning of time, our Heavenly Father knew that His Son would have to enter into sinful humanity within the context of a family to bring holiness and healing to the original cell of social life that the Catechism refers to as the domestic church of father, mother, and children. Today's Feast of the Holy Family has us celebrate not only the gift of God's Son that we celebrated at Christmas, we now celebrate His gift of our mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, who have a model to follow, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, who all knew in a special and unique way the inner life of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At this Mass, and as we prepare for a new year, may we be obedient like Mary and Joseph, and have the faith of Abraham and Sarah, Simeon and Anna, trusting that God will fulfill His promises in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones. Amen.